Good morning. I want to welcome each of you to our service this morning. It's good to actually see the sun. Arlen mentioned that it was behind the clouds, but actually be able to see it now. The title to our message this morning is Keep Ready, and we'll get to that where I got those words. The text this morning comes from Matthew 24, verses 42 to 51, and to get a little bit of a setting to what's happening here, in chapter 23, Jesus was teaching with his disciples in the temple, was teaching to the scribes and Pharisees, the crowd there, and in chapter 23, he used the word woe or woe unto you 8 times, and he really laid out some pretty harsh warnings or some hard things in that chapter. And as they were walking outside, they were leaving the place there, the disciples, they were like, hey, Jesus, look at these pretty buildings here. And it's like they either simply didn't hear what Jesus was just talking about, or the one commentator thought maybe they were trying to lift Jesus' spirits. He was in there being a little harsh, they thought maybe. They were trying to lift his spirits, or I don't know what was going through their minds. Different times they were trying to come up with the fact of who was going to be the greatest, or the fact that they were in the inner circle. We don't know what was, but anyway, they were noticing the buildings around there. And I'm going to read just a couple verses from Mark. Mark 13, 1 to 4. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? So that brings us to the beginning of chapter 24. And he doesn't really directly answer their question. He goes on for the next two chapters to look at in verse 37. He gives them the example of Noah and the days leading up to the flood, and how the people continued living the way they were, even though the ark was there. Noah kept preaching. They kept living the same way until the day that Noah went into the ark. And then he gives 4 different examples of the wicked and the faithful and the wicked servant, the wise and foolish virgins, the parable of the 10 talents, and then at the end, the separation of the sheep and goats. And basically, it's saying the same thing just over and over and over. So it's like this is a very important message that Jesus wants the disciples to get. And basically what Jesus is covering in these different examples, different scenarios, is the time frame of our life, the time frame between when Jesus ascended and his second coming. What are we supposed to be doing while we're here on this earth? So this time we'll read Matthew 24, verses 42 to 51. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I have a story here for you children, and maybe us adults can get what he's saying a little bit with this story too. It says a teacher tells her young students, class, I'm going down the hall to the school office for a few minutes. I don't expect to be gone long. I'm sure there won't be any trouble. I'm trusting you to work on your assignments while I'm gone. 15 minutes pass, then 20 and 40. Suddenly, the teacher returns. Dennis has just thrown an eraser at Carol, who was doing her math. Stephen is standing on the teacher's desk, making faces. The rest of the students are carrying out the teacher's instructions. They are delighted to see the teacher's return. But Dennis and Stephen wish she hadn't come back. And that's kind of how it is. Jesus was here on the earth many years ago, and our grandpas and their grandpas and their grandpas all said that Jesus is coming back soon, and most of them said the world is worse than what it was when I was a boy. So how do we continue on with that in mind? A couple things that we know for certain from the passage here is that Jesus is coming back. Even though it's been a long time, we know that he is coming back. And we also know that there will be a judgment. At the end of verse 51, and at the end of each of the scenarios that he goes over in the next chapter, there's always a judgment day at the end. A day of reckoning. I was thinking about this passage here. There's a couple different ways you could take it, and it could be applied to church leaders, to different groups of people like that. But I was thinking we all are leaders in certain aspects of our life, and it applies to each of our lives as we go through life. I found this this one thought said, the church is a big household in which each one has his niche. So no matter what your role is, these principles apply, whether you are a Sunday school teacher, an usher, or whatever. We're all working together. Another thing that we notice is looking at the two different servants here. Verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And it talks about that both servants didn't know when he was coming back. The one was prepared, the other one wasn't. And in verse 44, it goes on to say that he will come when least expected. So they had, both of these servants had the same master. They had the same position. They had the same job. Neither one of them knew. One of them didn't have an unfair advantage. One of them, it wasn't like one of them knew something the other one didn't. So let's look at the verse 45 at the faithful and wise servant. Look at some things we can learn from him. First of all, we see that he was appointed by the master. He wasn't self-appointed. He was appointed by the master to do a specific job. Because he was appointed by the master, he must look on himself as a servant, not as the master. And that those two roles are very different. And then he must be faithful in fulfilling the duties given to the master. The only thing we really see that he was given to do was to feed the household, to take care of the household, provide for their needs. I was thinking about that as we're in leadership positions, whether it's in our homes or whatever, if we have the right perspective of that, it should bring an attitude of humility as we fulfill the role that God gave each of us, whatever that might be. But as humans, we can tend to start taking over the situation and trying to switch to the role of master instead of servant in fulfilling our calling and to feed the household as it's in this situation. The word servant is looked at almost more as slave instead of, that would probably be a better way of saying it, to be a slave to the master. We have no agenda of our own, but we are completely fulfilling what the master called us to do. And verse 48 to 51 talks about the unfaithful servant. He was appointed by the same master. The one question I came to was, did the master know he was an unfaithful servant when he was appointed? He was appointed by the same master to do the same job. But somewhere along the line, he loses faith that the master is going to return. It says, my Lord delayeth his coming. It's almost like he thinks he can't, it's like cancels his coming. He's not going to come back. Or like the boys in the story, they knew the teacher was going to come back at some point. They just got caught up in the situation and in the fun they were having at the moment. And sometimes we are that way as well. We get caught up in our life. We get caught up in what's going on around us and forget why we're really here. If there's no return, if we give up on Christ's return, there's no motivation to continue faithfully feeding the household, faithfully doing our duties, what God has called us to do. And then we see the progression as he loses motivation, grows cold spiritually, neglects his duty to feed, starts taking the position of master instead of servant, and starts beating his fellow servants, starts partying, living for self, for ease and self-gratification, using his position to accomplish his goals. And not at all doing what God called him to. And even though he gave up on the Lord coming back, it does not at all change the fact that the Lord is coming, that the master is returning. And the master does return and finds him in this situation. When a household isn't fed or taken care of, it has a demoralizing effect on it. And instead of operating as a body, with each one, members one of another, serving and ministering one to another in love and care, it becomes an organization operating various programs. I really thought about that for a while. We can come together on Sunday mornings and how are you doing? Oh, just fine. And we all go home. And that can be the end of it. Or do we invest time in each other? Do we know when someone else is going through a hard time? And are we willing to go out of our way to take care of the person or to meet that person's needs? The one illustration I found that said that too many times we think of our life as a clock instead of a timeline. We're born here and then we live our life and die, but we look at the clock and it keeps going around and around. And so if we don't get something done today by 9 o'clock, there's always 9 o'clock tonight or 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And so it gives us about the only time that we really think hard on the fact that we're moving along is on our birthday or New Year's Day. That marks an ending and a beginning. And we think about it on those days, but most of the time we're just doing the cycle. And that really stuck out to me. What am I thinking about the time span instead of just spinning my wheels? And then we also see that there's a reward for our actions, good or bad. We're going to start with the unfaithful servant first, so that we can end up on the positive for last. In verse 51, the Bible has some gruesome pictures sometimes of describing different scenarios, and in this case, the separation, eternal separation from God, in verse 51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's very, very thorough, very final. Paul was talking about harsh judgments in Sunday school, and I had to think of this. It is very, very thorough judgment. And then in verse 46, it says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." And the word blessed here is the same Greek word as the word happy or fulfilled. When we do a job, do a good job, it's kind of the same, but on steroids maybe. I don't think when we get to the end of life, to judgment day, and we hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," I don't think it's going to compare to the feeling we get from a good job done. But I think maybe that can give us a little bit of an idea of what he's trying to convey here. Another phrase I found that helps describe what we're looking at here says, "To labor is to pray, and to serve is to be ready." Sometimes some of the words that are used, we think of waiting and some of that stuff. We think of sitting somewhere, but we're to be busy, to be active, serving. To serve is to be ready. And then a story here, just a short story to end here, and this is where I got the title. It says, a little old Southern lady who lived by this teaching and he's referring to the fact that Jesus is going to return, was shopping at a small country store. Several young people just standing around doing nothing, knowing that she was a Christian, began ridiculing her. "We hear you're expecting Jesus to come back," they jeered. "That's right," she replied brightly. "Do you really believe he's coming back?" they asked. "Absolutely," she answered. They said, "Well, you'd better hurry home and get ready. He might be on the way." Facing them, she said, "I don't have to get ready. I keep ready." And that was a good challenge for me. Let's make sure we keep ready at all times. We don't have to get ready. So with that, let's pray. Thank you, God, for your blessings to us. Thank you for your word and your